Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, July 26, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 3, page 43, and more about alcoholism, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with once more. And we're going to read that one paragraph only and finish out the chapter of Chapter 3 of More About Alcoholism. And we'll be commenting, obviously, on that last paragraph. Today's readers are Karen B. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Don B., Julie E. B., and Janice P. M. Our newcomer greeter today is Mo H. and Leslie W. for our announcements. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, July 25th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,201. So that's 13201. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, July 26th, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,204. So that's 13204. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And now I will now ask Karen B. to read our 12 steps. Karen? Star 1 to unmute, please. Are you there, Karen?
I'm here. Sorry about that.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Karen B. in Utah with the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food. Their lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Karen, for your service this morning. And now we'll hear from Athena B., the 12 Traditions of OA. Athena?
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California, and these are our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Athena, for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that does include your mute button on your phone. Please don't use that. Please use star 1 to mute and unmute. That way we can have a nice, quiet meeting today. Today we're resuming our study on the Big Book, and we're in Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism. We're on page 43, the last paragraph, which is the third paragraph, starting with Once More. And now I will ask Dawn B. to start reading. Dawn?
Good morning. This is Dawn B. from Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. That's a fantastic paragraph. And what a exclamation point, a beautiful exclamation point at the end of an amazing chapter, More About Alcoholism, where we are given an amazing description of our powerlessness over alcohol and that our lives are truly, absolutely unmanageable and that there is no solution for us outside of a spiritual solution. So we either have the choice of going on to a miserable death. I had the choice of going on to a miserable death and a lot of suffering and pain, or accepting spiritual help. And one day at a time now, I am given the opportunity to practice relying on that spiritual solution that is my only defense, my higher power. So now I am blessed with the ability, thanks to going through the steps, working them like my hair was on fire, and receiving what these steps promise, this spiritual awakening, this spiritual experience. And now, by this amazing, miraculous power, I am given the ability, a day at a time, to overcome, to be able to
keep the food down, which is an absolute miracle. And so the mental obsession, which is described here in this chapter, which we have no defense against, we will always come up with an excuse, we'll always come up with a reason. It's a bad day, it's a good day, it's a cloudy day, it's a sunny day, therefore I need to pick up. And we are without defense against that. But thanks to our higher power, thanks to my higher power, I am given the ability to not do that. And that is truly miraculous. So what I get to practice every day then is relying on this higher power. I'm given the opportunity to realize that I am blind, but my higher power sees perfectly. I am powerless, but my higher power is all powerful. So one day at a time, I practice relying on my higher power's abilities, not on my abilities. Not just with the food, but in all areas of my life. I get to practice that I am blind, but my higher power sees perfectly. And this is a beautiful thing. And so that's really all I have to share. And it is a simple solution, and it is a most powerful solution that is life-changing.
Sorry?
Yes.
Well,
with
thank
that,
you, Don B. Thank you for getting us started. And so we are in Chapter 3, more about alcoholism. We're on the last page of the chapter, of page 43, the last paragraph, starting with once more. Who would like to share this?
Irene B.
Irene
Christina
B.
J.
Christina
I'm sorry,
G. Yes.
Christina J.
Donna
J. Kim A.
I'm sorry, you guys, hold on. Did I hear Christina J?
Yes, you did.
Thank you. And
Jackie
A. Donna, I think I heard a Donna. Was it a B or a W?
Donna B.
Thank you. And
Cindy D.
Cindy D. Got you.
Kim A.
Amy
okay,
G.
Did you say Kim A is an apple?
Yes. Yes.
Kim. One more.
Jackie H.
I'm sorry, Jackie, I'll take you on the next round. I heard, did
okay.
I hear you, Mo?
Yes, you did.
Amy
I did.
Oh.
Okay, and I've got, I'll take Jackie and I'll take whoever else on the next round, okay? Thank you, guys. If everybody would please star one to mute, except for Irene B. Irene, and then you'll be followed up by Christina J. Irene?
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B. I recovered, gratefully recovered from Linux from Louisiana. I love the way this paragraph ends. It ends with the bottom line. It's all about our spiritual connection. It is, for me, my only source of hope, my only hope of recovery is to be connected with my higher power. And I know that he's capable of doing it, because I was as hopeless a case as you will ever find. When they used to say, you know, that we're powerless over the first bite, I mean, when I was in my most of my life, in my period of bulimia, there was no thinking before. There was no stopping. There was no awareness. No, why am I doing this? Or I am about to do this. And I was totally powerless, zero control. And by the grace of God, little by little over the years, I have looked to him, but I didn't know how to connect with him. And I looked to him. I looked to professional help, $1 million worth of professional help. And I still didn't get there. It wasn't until somebody told me about OA that it was for me. Because I was told that OA was not for me.
They're going to have to be trained.
Thank you. That they that it wasn't for the women. It wasn't for me. And I had nothing, because the eating disorders program that I first went to therapy for 40 years ago it is all doing out of business. But by the grace of God, we have OA. And OA teaches me how to stay connected to my higher power. And with my higher power, I am getting in touch with that which ails me. And the food is not a problem, it's my solution. What ails me is my emotional pain that comes from the terrible, terrible things that I say to myself. I have grace and kindness for everyone except me. And by the grace of God, I'm allowing God's love to flow to me, not just to everybody else, but to me as well. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that through this program and through this step, and with you guys teaching, I am able to connect to my power. And with that, I can succeed. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you, Irene B. And Christina J., you're up, followed by Donna B. Christina?
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, moderator, for your service. Thank you for all the stories. I am excited to hear on the line this morning. This is a fantastic paragraph. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. I came in at 2015, got started like my hair was on fire, got going. I didn't realize that until late 2017, I was white-knuckling it. I had no connection, true connection with the higher power. I thought I was spiritual, thought I was religious, thought I had it down. I didn't know what it meant yet. I was still controlling things. I had no idea yet. And so after three surgeries in late 17 and 18, I had to get a full-time job and go through these gyrations and was back in the food, struggling in and out of relapse for most of 2017, all of 2018, and part of 2019, because I still didn't know how to really surrender and connect. His defense must come from a higher power. I didn't have that defense in place yet. And just in this last recovery, starting April 1st, was I able to start experiencing what that true surrender means. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. But I'm not totally surrendered. I like to say I'm recovered, which I am, but I'm still in recovery and will always be the rest of my life because I have an emotional problem that stems from this mind and all the things I went through as a child that imprinted my soul, my habit patterns, my reaching for food to comfort every aspect of my life. Hungry, tired, lonely, angry, resentful, all those things that I felt I worked out mostly in my four step, but they continue to rear their ugly little heads and I get to it's really God's way to get me to work on these things more. Here it comes again. Okay, God, let's go with this. Let's work this out. So, except in a few rare cases, he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. I got to work on that during that 2017-18 relapse run, and I learned that I cannot take one bite. I learned to the core of my bones, the marrow of my bones, that it don't work. I don't have an attraction to picking up the first bite anymore. Sometimes the food calls to me when I get into those emotional states, but I've got tools. I've got the 10th step, the 11th step, and the 12th step. And these things bring me closer to that higher power. And I get to pray each morning and surrender and say, God, you've got this. I don't have to worry about it. That's the most beautiful thing. It just warms my heart to know that God has got my back. And yes, I go crazy still sometimes at night in fear. But I realize all I have to do is start praying and surrendering, and suddenly I'm back to sleep. What a beautiful gift this is. Thank you, everyone, for your service. And I look forward to hearing the stories, like I said, and I'm grateful. I pass.
And thank you, Christina J. Donna B., you're up, followed by Cindy D. Donna?
This is Donna. Thank you. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling from Denver, Colorado. What has been going on in my personal life most recently is a deeper understanding of how this disease centers in my mind. Every morning, I say steps 1, 2, and 3 as a small part of a larger prayer practice. And when I admit that I'm powerless over food, I'm also able to admit that I am powerless over my thinking and that my life is entirely unmanageable by me. And I have come to believe that a power greater than myself can and will and is and has restored me to sanity. And when I read pages 86 through 88 on a daily basis, it's becoming more and more reassuring to hear that what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration is gradually becoming a working part of my mind. Because that process is gradual, I do have to check in with my sponsor and my fellows through the process of the 10th step to see whether my thinking is reliable or not. But as I make big decisions and hard decisions that align me closer to the program of recovery and further away from my disease of compulsive overeating and bulimia, but also my disease of relying on my own thinking, miracles are happening in my life. And it doesn't always feel like rainbows and butterflies. Sometimes it feels really scary. But I'm grateful that through the process of experience, I'm coming to rely on my relationship with a higher power. And part of my prayer practice is also, because of my history, it's hard for me to believe that any human being cares about me. So the idea of abandoning myself completely to the care and protection of a higher power, I mean, just so many words in that sentence sound like a foreign language to me. But every morning, I beg God to have me see, believe, experience in his care. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Donna B. Cindy D., you're up, followed by Kim A. Cindy?
Thanks, Jerry. Good morning, everyone. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And, you know, I was thinking to yesterday, I asked a question on the Unrecorded Hour about a sentence on page 64 that says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. And I was relating it back to today's reading of, you know, our only defense comes from a higher power. And for me, that's absolutely true. That's the only thing that keeps me out of the food. Because when I get shaky, I ask for his help, and I can get through. Or I reach out to fellows, and I use the program. And, you know, for me, the overcoming of the spiritual malady is the steps. And it's the promises, the steps 9 and 10 coming true in my life. That's how I know that I've had the spiritual malady overcome. And the way I've seen it in my mental is, you have that distorted, crazy thinking of I'm not good enough, I don't do it good enough, others do it better, you know, I'm being rejected, they're hurting me on purpose, or they're doing that to me on purpose, blah, blah, blah. And my higher power says you need to flip your thinking. You know, you are good enough, you're right where I want you to be, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, have confidence. And a fellow shared with me, you know, I'm not being rejected, I'm being protected. Because my feelings from my higher power might be a warning of, you know, an unhealthy relationship or I'm about to take, you know, the wrong path or make a bad decision. But when I can really surrender and go to God and get quiet, I hear what it's really about, and 10 steps help me get there and my fellows help me get there. And then the physical, you know, certainly the weight loss is part of that, but it's more, it's my feet not hurting as bad as they used to. It's my medication being decreased because I don't need it anymore. It's exercising for the first time in 30 years. It's having energy and wanting to go out and do things that I've been avoiding and people and places that I've been avoiding because I was ashamed and uncomfortable in my own body. And I just wish for every person on this line and every person out there that's still suffering that they can find the miracle of this program. And all you have to do is work those steps. Be willing, surrender, give yourself to your higher power. And it can be true for you too. I am so, so grateful for this fellowship and for my fellows and for the steps. And with that, I wish everybody a really blessed day. Thank you. I'll pass, Sherry.
Well, thank you, Cindy D. And Kim A., you're up, followed by Mo H. Kim?
Good morning. Hi, yes, this is Kim A. as in apple. Kim A. as in alcoholic. I'm surprised that this paragraph is not in italics. We know that italics were expensive back in the day when they wrote the big book, and there are certain things that they felt were so necessary that they put them in italics. I'm surprised this isn't one of them. I want to focus on step three. I've been thinking a lot about the third step prayer, which is part of my daily prayer meditation every morning. It always seemed kind of simple to me, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Yeah, okay. I'll make a decision, yes. But it's so much more complicated than that. When I say that third step prayer, I offer myself to thee, to build with me, and to do with me as thou wilt. Right there, I'm saying, God, please just take me. Not my food, just me. My thoughts, my decisions, my actions. And yes, my food is part of that because I have to decide what to eat, or I have to be willing to ask God to help me decide what to eat. I like can't think of the prayer in the middle. I have to start from the beginning. I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. So if I am willing to turn my decision, my actions, my thoughts over to God, I'm asking that he free me of the insanity that comes when I rely on my own thoughts and decisions, because my mind lies to me. We cannot differentiate between the true and the false. And my mind will tell me things all the time that lead me back into the food. And I don't mean food-related things, like, oh, I can just have one. I mean things like that person is a jerk, things like, you know, you know, I deserve to have my way, or I need to control this situation, or I know a better way, or if people would just listen to me, or, you know, I have to make my husband understand this. Things like that are what will eventually lead me into the food, because the food isn't my problem. The problem is my thinking, because my mind will lie to me. This is like a disease of delusion. I believe all these lies that my mind tells me. So I have to ask God every day, often multiple times, to relieve me of this bondage of self, to free me from this like insane delusional thinking so that I could be of service. Because these steps teach me that, you know, this is kind of like a deal that I'm making with God. Okay, I'll wrap up that if he takes this from me, which also leads to taking faulty food thoughts from me, then I will be of service the best I can. So that is the only defense that I have, my higher power. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Kim A. And before we hear from Mo H, I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 3. More about alcoholism. We're finishing up the chapter today. We're on page 43, the third paragraph. It's the last paragraph completing the chapter. So as soon as we hear from Mo H., I'll take some more names. Mo?
Yep. All right. Thank you, Sherry KB, for your service. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the newcomers and welcome to all those on the line. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California. I call this chapter more about the mental obsession or the mental twist. or the mental blank spot. And whenever I have a sponsee that's continually struggling, I suggest they read this chapter, because every one of the stories in this chapter has to do with that mental twist. And the words I want to zero down on in this paragraph, and I agree it should be in italics, is at certain times. And I was thinking about those words, and I thought, at certain times. Do we know those times? I don't. Sometimes the food landed in my mouth, and I didn't even know how it landed there. Of course, I put it there. But at certain times, and they don't say, oh, at certain times, so, oh, well, in the middle of the afternoon, or after dinner, or when I'm upset, or anything. At certain times, so for me, what that means is when I'm starting to feel off balance in my body, being it now that the food isn't in there, but the emotions are going crazy, I need to get connected to God. I need to do a 10-step, because I'm without defense unless I do something about those emotions. And yesterday ended up doing 3 10-steps around different things that were setting me off. And I really was like, wow, man, I was going along so good for most of the day. And then, boom. So we don't know those times at certain times. So we better be prepared, and I better be prepared at all times against that bite by, when I wake up in the morning, connecting right away. As we hear, you know, we go to bed and we turn into a pumpkin and we wake up a pumpkin. We got to connect. I got to connect right away. I do that before I get out of the bed, right away to start my day. And then I do my morning prayers. And then I stay connected throughout the day by talking to you folks, having sponsees, listening to this meeting, going on walks, whatever it is. But we are without defense against that bite at certain times. We don't know that time. And so we better be prepared. And with that, I'll pass.
08. So now we'll take some more names. I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 43, the last paragraph, the third paragraph, once more. So I've got Jackie H. Did I hear Summa M?
Hi, yes. This is Carol B. from Wilmington, Delaware. I'm looking for
sponsors. Carol B., I got you, and we'll take some more names. Go ahead,
Julie
please.
E.B.?
Amy G.
Julie E.B. Did I hear Amy G.?
Yes.
Whoa, okay. Miss Amy G. All right, and I can take one more.
Carolyn G.
Carolyn G., okay. All right, so this is who I have. Jackie H., Summa M., Carol B., Julie E.B., Amy G., and Carolyn G. Jackie H., please go ahead. Followed by
Carolyn. Oh, good morning. Good morning, Sherry. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Thank you for your service. Wow. A miracle happened for me in the last year that I've been in OA. And every day I just have, sometimes I have to pinch myself to see if I'm really doing what I'm doing here, right? You know, it's, I don't have, once I got the alcoholic foods out of my body, I did not have to worry about, I didn't have a physical craving anymore. And I had experienced that many, many times throughout my life for short periods of time, but I didn't have a program. And so the mental twist always took over. And so what's happened here for me in the last year, by doing this, actually maybe not even doing the steps, letting the steps do me, so to speak, I actually have neutrality around the food. I have a plan. I have a program. I have a connection. I'm plugged into my higher power. so that when these little thoughts come up, when this mental twist that really, as somebody said before, we have no idea when that's going to come up. It may come up when I'm happy. It may not be a problem, but it may just be that I'm happy. And I think that something would, you know, my mind goes to the food. But today, I actually have this connection with my higher power that I am developing. I've just, over the last year, it has evolved into this sweet, sweet, sweet connection. And every morning when I get up, I've started a new practice that I absolutely love. And I sit down and I take a pen and paper, and before I do anything, I sit and have a conversation with my higher power, back and forth, back and forth. And it has just evolved into such a beautiful, beautiful practice that I'm grateful for. And I, before I ever step foot out of the bed, I say, okay, you know, I've used this body for many years for lots and lots of things, to be pretty or even to attack people. I've just used this body for my own selfishness through my life. Here I am. I want this body to be used to extend God's love to every single person that I am around. And you know, I don't have to just talk. I get to walk my talk now. And sometimes I don't even have to talk. If I'm walking gentle on this planet, sauntering, just, you know, it with ease, maybe I don't have to say anything. Maybe a person can feel that and get that from me. And today I am just grateful. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that I have a program of recovery. And that's all. Thank you. The end. Have a good day, all.
Thank you, Jackie H. Sima M., you're up, followed by Carol B. Sima? Star one to unmute, please, Sima M.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay, this is Sima M. from New Jersey, grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery one day at a time. Thank you, Sherry. It's good to hear you. This morning, my daughter called me early in the morning. She's 30 years old. She lives in the city, which is not far away from where I live, but it can be far away transportation-wise. And I'm a mother, and she's in pain because she has this condition that's all over her body, and it's been there for weeks, and she changed jobs, and her health insurance plan isn't kicking in yet, and she doesn't know what to do, and she's calling me, and she's saying, what should I do, what should I do? And I don't know what to do. I'm not a doctor. I don't understand it. She has an appointment tomorrow. She said, I can't stand it one more day. And all I could say is, I don't know. And I referred her back to one of our relatives who is a doctor who's been helping her. And I was powerless. But I didn't get panicked. I just prayed to my higher power that she had guidance over what to do. And she called me back, and she went to see one doctor, and now I'm going to pick her up. And she's going to keep the appointment with the other doctor. But it just reminds me over and over again that God can solve all the problems, even the ones I can't solve. I just have to believe and know that there's a power there. And as I tell my sponsees, there's a power there. Whether the electricity is on or not, there is electricity, and it will eventually come on again, no matter what I do or say or how much I complain and stamp my feet. So I'm grateful that she's feeling better just for the moment, and I'm grateful that that I'm going to be there, even though I don't know anything about medicine, and she still has to wait to see the doctor tomorrow. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sima M. Carol B., you're up, followed by Julie E. B. Carol?
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's taken me a while to get figure this out. This is Carol B. calling from Delaware. And first off, I just want to thank you all for all your words of encouragement and for being there. I'm trying to get online to find a sponsor. So if I
will just leave my phone number, and that will be my request. I am at 302.
If you don't mind, we're talking on our topic today, and if you stay after the Serenity Prayer, you can give name and phone numbers, and you'll hear numbers of sponsors, phone numbers for sponsors. So if you can please wait till the end of our, when we do the Serenity Prayer, we'd be more than happy
okay.
to hear your name. And welcome.
Sure. Thank you.
Would you like to share on our topic this morning?
I would, but I'm really nervous, so I'll just wait until the end. Thank you.
Okay, well,
bye.
Thank you, Carol B. Please stay on. Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Amy G. Julie? Julie E.B., star 1-10.
Can you hear me?
I can.
All right, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. And I was really moved by one of our fellows on the first hour shared of this meeting today, shared that that I'm without defense, except my higher power is my defense. And this really changed and rocked my world today in a difficult, rough meeting at work. And all of a sudden I'm going to be defensive and thinking about how I was wronged, and then I'm going to think of words I could have or should have said to defend myself. I'm going into fears, things that I'm worried about, and how would I have a defense? And this person just shared, you know, out of this passage, you know, my defense for the food, my defense for my thinking is that I have a higher power that cares for and loves me and is already out there advocating, arguing, on my behalf, loving on my behalf. And just picturing that gives me such relief today. You know, I try to imagine what it'd be like, you know, I certainly don't have to imagine my many years in the food, gaining, losing hundreds of pounds, you know, being bedbound with six medical specialists and just feeling like there was no defense, no hope, no escape. And what would I feel like listening to this meeting today and everyone saying, oh, yeah, there's a spiritual. And in the words of a suffering person I talked to yesterday, you guys are so big on this spiritual and all this God stuff, and I don't get it, and so I can't get anywhere. And it's like, yeah, you know, it sounds really intimidating. We have to remember to stay tuned for the next chapter where it talks about our higher power doesn't make hard terms with us, that a higher power could be the people who have supported you along the way, those positive voices. You can have your higher power start with our higher power just being the group or the ocean, something bigger than you. Because when I'm stuck in this kind of thinking, like I was this morning, like kind of, is it me that was right, or my boss that was right, or the meeting that was right, or this that was right? There's only these finite possibilities. It's either this or this. And usually, what I really came out understanding when after my spiritual time is that I felt a lot of shame, that I couldn't rest satisfaction and happiness out of just managing the situation right, and that I was raised in a home with people fighting all the time, and conflict still hurts me. My higher power can just tell me that I'm okay. My higher power and the love and care and protection that I get can go ahead of me and smooth the way and help me to know the words to say when the time is right. If you're deep, face deep in the food and you think there's no hope, just, you know, listen to a voice, reach out, make a call, and don't let all the spiritual talk keep you away, because when people say it's spiritual, they're not talking about a lot of stuff you're thinking. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. And Amy G., you're up, followed by Carolyn G. The G's
good morning,
that we got going this morning.
Good morning. My name is Amy G. I'm a compulsive reader from Maryland. Thank you, everyone, for such an awesome meeting. I'm not saying anything new, but I think in my humble opinion, it bears repeating that we're at the end of this chapter, and I was always taught by my sponsor that, you know, what was the main focus of this chapter? And as many have said, it's the mental obsession. It's the nature of my illness, which is a physical allergy, and the mental obsession, that queer mental twist that at certain times, I don't know if the next day I'm going to be face first in the food or a week later. I mean, this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it's up in my head and that when it comes to thinking rationally about food, I was not rational. And that understanding of true powerlessness of that greater aspect, the mental obsession. And for me, it was really important to understand that that was what the focus is. So my questions, my sponsor to me were, am I like Fred? Am I like Jim? Am I like the jaywalker? You know, am I relating in and identifying in to what the true nature of my illness is? And if that is the case, then do I concede to my innermost self who and what I am? And if that's the case, I need a power greater than myself. But I think it's important to understand that, as some have said too, the spiritual aspect, you know, we are hopeless apart from divine help. Well, if you had told me when I first walked into my OA meetings that I needed a God, I had no relationship with God. I didn't know what a higher power was. If you had told me that my recovery depended on that, I would have thought that I was doomed. And the reality is that we are not alone. Those of us with agnostic temperament, we have a whole chapter dedicated. That's where we're going to dive into in the next chapter, is to the agnostic, to those just like us or me that really struggle with this idea of a higher power. And for the longest time, it was just for me, my spiritual work was to just do the next right thing that my sponsor told me to do, which was to get a food plan, to get a sponsor, to a recovered sponsor, and to work the steps, because I was told that if I worked the steps, I would have that personality change sufficient to bring about recovery and develop a spiritual connection with some sort of higher power greater than me that could relieve me of this insanity. And I had to act. I had to act my way into a new way of thinking. I don't think my way with this disease. I can't, because my thinking screwed up. So I can't think my way into a new way of acting and believing. I have to act my way into a new way of thinking instead, and just go and do. And with that, I'll pass.
We can't hear anything.
Thank you, Amy G. And Carolyn G., you're up next. And I think we'll have time for one more share. Carolyn? Carolyn G., star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Carolyn. Can you hear me?
I can. Yes. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. This is Carolyn G., recovering from Massachusetts. I'm grateful to be on the line this morning and hearing all this great insight. I just wanted to share where I am. I've been 90 days, and I am on the ninth step, writing my amends with my sponsor. And I can't believe what I'm going to say, but I don't want other people's food. Now, when I used to hear this in the rooms, I always was envious of those people that could eat with impunity, and I wanted their food. And I believe it, but I just didn't think it would happen for me. At my work yesterday, they have ice cream trucks. It's the summer, so of course you need an ice cream truck. My boss said to me, "You going down to the ice cream truck?" And I said, "No." And he says, "Oh, you're being good." And I can't tell him why. I mean, I'm not going to go into the long story. I'm like, he has no idea what good is. It's not I'm being good. It's like I finally surrendered to, yes, I am a compulsive overeater. And God is leading me through the steps with a sponsor. And I also, I went to my doctor's this morning. And that's another reason I was put on a certain diet, because of my health conditions, and I couldn't do it. My doctor told me to eat a certain way, and I couldn't. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to have to go to OA. And I dreaded it, but I got such a good report. He says, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." And I said, "Well, it's a lot of work." He says, "It's hard to do this." I says, "Yeah, but I says, I'm adding a spiritual component that I've never done before. It's like why willpower worked on so many things, even with food, but it just stopped working. Willpower failed me, and I had to go to the power to get help. And I'm so grateful, and thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Carolyn G. Well, folks, believe it or not, that's all of the time we have today for this meeting. What a fantastic meeting. Thank you all for sharing and for all of you listening and all the people for service on this line today. Thank you, Team Friday, 12 Steps of OA, Karen B., The 12 Traditions, Athena B., reader of our text this morning was Don B., and Julie E. B. will be reading page 164, and Janice P.M. was our backup waiting in the wings. Our newcomer greeter is Mo H., and our announcements are Leslie W. So with that being said, thank you so much, everyone, and we will now close from a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you